America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. Hi, everyone. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. We bridge divides, we seek deeper meaning, and we answer life's most compelling questions from experts around the world. Because in a world of uncertainty and division within and out, we will need answers right here, right now. Join me and guests on America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Get off the grid and step inside your heart. Sister Jenna guides you through a powerful, encouraging, and motivating meditation that allows you to let go and become aware of you, regain strength, power, and peace.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. And guess where I am? I'm on the mountaintop, Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center, because the whole world is just sensing that we are at a place in our lives where definitely something good is about to break through. Or shall I say something better is about to break through. For example, on the air today, we're going to have the incredible Marion Williamson. And we're going to be talking about her new book, The Tears to Triumph. Isn't that beautiful? So before I get Marianne on, I'm going to do what we do best here, is to take us into just a little bit of reflection, because you know that's just the way the conversations roll here. And so breathe deeply, take it easy, and let's let go all the things that we're attached to and experience who we really are. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being
of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time,
that was the letting go track from my Off the Grid Into the Heart meditation CD. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We are so privileged to welcome this next incredible voice in our country, Marianne Williamson. Marianne is an internationally acclaimed author and lecturer. 6 of her 10 published books have been New York Times bestsellers, and her books include Return to Love, The Law of Divine Compensation, A Woman's Worth, and her newest release, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment. Marian has been a popular guest on television programs such as Oprah, Good Morning America, Charlie Rose, and much more. And today, the America Meditating has the privilege to welcome Marian. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you found your time because I know that you're out there changing consciousness. I know that. And I had this very intriguing sort of anticipation in just our dialoguing together. You've been on this incredible spiritual journey for quite a number of years, right? And you've seen a lot, you've said a lot, you've felt a lot, and you've done a lot. Where is Marian Williamson today in her journey?
Well, in my personal journey, I'm in a peaceful and a happy place. But in terms of the state of the world, I agree with what you were saying before, that there is a collective knowing that we must transition into a different place, a different mindset, into a different state of consciousness, as you and I would call it. And so I feel what I call a peaceful urgency. It seems to that the forces of fear are intensifying, but so are the forces of love. And I think that the issue at the moment is not that there aren't enough people aware of the changes that need to be made. I just, as I encounter people and travel, it seems that a lot of people are really on the right track, but just kind of need to step it up. And that's
right.
Why I think that the work of people such as yourself and myself, and really all of us in our own way, anyone who would be listening to a program like this, we just need to really keep our eyes on that ball of necessary change and enlightenment, you know, the whole different way of being and acting in the world.
What I'd wish to be a tiny little thought etched in your subconscious as we look at this very volatile political climate that we're in. And I want to talk about that later on in the show. But congratulations on the release of your new book, Tears to Triumph. And I have to tell you, you might look at me with some eyes the next time you bump into me. But I went, Tears of Trump? How could you write a book on that? And I went, oh, no.
That would be more Trump to tears. Yeah.
So
somebody else said that.
Somebody else said that.
Yeah.
I loved your sharing that the pain you're going through is not what will determine your future. Your future will be determined by who you are as you go through your pain. Yo, speak to me. I want to hear about that. What? Tell us more. Tell us more about that.
You know, we are trained to see ourselves as at mercy of and at the effect of the circumstances outside ourselves. And that is one of the reasons why when we are sad, we see ourselves as victim of a condition over which we have no control. But meditation is certainly an example of the kind of internal change that so changes our mental filter that it changes our experience of an experience and then actually transforms the circumstance itself. So even in the midst of the darkness, you can invoke the light. And that's what this book is about. Two people can go through to the same situation. And sad situations are part of life. There is situational despair. You lose someone that you love, or you go through a painful divorce, or bankruptcy, financial ruin, professional failure. These things happen in life. They are part of the seasons of life. And they are situational. They are not a mental disorder. And so it's extremely important for us to learn how to navigate the dark nights of the soul. And one of the ways you navigate the dark night of the soul is through your conviction that the morning will come. You know, if you think this is a deep time of sadness and depression and it will never end, and I'm at the mercy of it, and even worse, this is some mental condition I have, then your despair only deepens and you feel powerless and you might turn to pharmaceuticals or whatever. Remember, once again, I'm not talking about schizophrenia or bipolar. I'm talking about situational despair that happens in all of our lives. If, on the other hand, you understand about the power of spirit, the power of meditation, the power of prayer, the power of serious spiritual practice, the power of forgiveness, the power of non-judgment, the power of atonement, the power of doing your own work and looking deeply at the issues that need to be looked at and that are causing you such sadness to begin with, then deep internal changes occur. and you are lifted above the emotional turbulence that so often can bring us down. And not only are you lifted above the emotional turbulence, you realize this is a tough time. It's the winter of your life. It's a winter, but winter is followed by spring. It's a night, but it's followed by morning. And this gives you the power to endure. It gives you the power of patience. And most of all, it gives you the power of knowing that on the other side of this, I will be even a better person because of the lessons I'm learning right now. And my heart will be more open, and I will be wiser. And there, through the grace of God, good will come from this.
You've had it. I've had it. I think
exactly.
Everyone has had an experience.
Exactly.
Where does it come from, Marianne? Where's the root? I swear to you, I look back, I've crossed my T's, dotted my I's, I've smiled so much that I've got wrinkles starting. So we have this expectation that sometimes we look at our lives, and I'm not saying that I haven't missed things. Of course I've missed things. But where does that pain come from in the soul? Is it from religion? Is it from choices? Is it just a natural part of the psyche?
When you were doing the meditation earlier, and you said, imagine yourself without your name, without your gender, without your nationality, and so forth. You were calling us to live in that quantum field of no thing, no space, no time. That's our natural state. But we inhabit a mortal three-dimensional reality, which unfortunately is dominated by a thought system that actually repudiates and actively resists that true natural domain of who we actually are. And that gap causes terrible pain because the truth of who we are is a state of pure love. And the mindset that dominates this planet repudiates that love. It is a mindset that posits us as separate from each other rather than one with each other, as separate from any kind of divine being as opposed to one with that divine being. It posits us as random beings as opposed to meanings of glory and mission and purpose. And the soul cannot be at home here. And not only can the soul not be at home in that realm, but forgetting who we are, we forget what we came here for. And from that place, we make terrible decisions. And we download, as it were, that fear rather than that love. And other people do the same. And so we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people and other people hurt us and other people hurt themselves to the point where we are living on this mortal dimension within this maelstrom of insanity and suffering. And it's our mission on this earth to close that gap, to reclaim the forces of the earth for the forces of love. That's why we meditate. That's why we pray. That's why we forgive. Every action of that kind recalibrates the energies of the universe. And until we do that, we suffer. That's why Buddha said the world is suffering. That's why in the Old Testament, the story begins with the suffering of the Israelites under the oppression of the Pharaoh, who represents that internal dictator or ego mind, the meaning of Jesus suffering on the cross of worldly existence. But those are just the beginnings of the story. You know, the story of the journey of Buddha is to his enlightenment. The story of the Israelites is to the promised land. The story of Jesus is to the resurrection. So that's the real story going on this planet, that we inhabit the realm of human suffering and through our own spiritual practice reclaim not only our own hearts and our own lives, but the entire world for the truth of who we are and the love that is at the center of our being.
I have to tell you, when I was reading through Tears of Triumph, we launched a new initiative called Meditate the Vote. And what we're trying to do is to engage people in a higher level of conversation, especially individuals that tend to lean more towards a very angry way of expressing sitting at their base. And as I'm reading through the book, I'm going, this is perfect timing because there's a lot of suffering going on right now. There's a lot of emotional debris that's spilling out through this presidential election. I know that you are behind Sister Giant, and it provides women with information and tools needed to be political candidates. Could you tell us a little bit about Sister Giant and why it's important to encourage more women to run for
political office?
I was talking to Nikki Giovanni the other day.
And you know what she said?
I certainly know who she is.
Oh, my gosh. She says, put six women on the moon, and I'm telling you this world will change. And then she says, put a black woman in office, and she'll teach America how to cook, clean, take care of family, and get this world together. And I just thought, what? I want to hear what your thoughts are.
I tell you, we put a black man in the White House, and unfortunately, that did not make the impact on our private prison system and police brutality and other kind of systemic economic injustice that has affected the African-American community. I think that the answer lies in exactly the place you were calling us to at the beginning, which is beyond race and beyond gender. Because no matter whether we're women or men, black or white, we can get lost and entrapped in a kind of mindset, however well intended that we are, that keeps humanity from moving to that higher, most progressive place. Hillary Clinton is an example. She's a woman, but there are many women who are not supporting her because that which we are all reaching for from a spiritual place is coming from someplace inside the heart that is not defined by any of our externals. It's important, of course, as we progress, that we are aware and that we are determined. The color of someone's skin would not keep them from being elected, and that someone's sexuality would not keep them from being elected. But once again, the light that I think is the beacon for all of us is something beyond any of that. And that has to do with that state that you called us to at the beginning. I think that in this particular election, for instance, we are talking about something so much bigger even than gender. We are talking about something so much bigger than any of those other kinds of categories that we normally associate with political conversation and constituencies. We're talking about democracy. You know, we're in this particular election, we are talking about whether the very democratic ideal, which is the highest beacon. It's what called people to abolish slavery. It's what called people to give women suffrage. It's what called people to civil rights movement. It's what called people to marriage equality, is that beacon of the possibility of the self-actualization of any individual. But the issue of democracy is not only the rights of the individual, but the responsibility of the individual, and the fact that American democracy rests on the idea that every single voice has a chance to be heard. And that's what's happening in America today. We have a suppression of democracy itself. When you're talking about the suppression of voter rights, when you're talking about really the quite horrifying way that two major political parties dominate the system the way they do. And what this has given rise to, I'm afraid, is the rise of someone with real dictatorial tendencies. Someone who has attacked Muslims, has attacked Mexicans, has attacked women, has attacked the press. And this is not a pattern. This is a pathology. And so I think that this is a time for all of us, regardless of our color, regardless of our race, regardless of our religion, regardless of our gender, regardless of our sexuality, to really stand up as Americans right now and be very clear about what's at stake in this election.
Well, it's like you said in the book, even the deepest dark can reveal God's light. And maybe that's exactly where we're moving in the country, because I don't know if you saw an interview Oprah did with Donald Trump in the 80s. He was like almost preparing himself to run for president. And the interesting thing is he's saying the same things now. And so it makes me really think at a much deeper level. And all the candidates, so to speak, they're representing a level of consciousness that we're witnessing in the country. And the question is, individuals like yourself, who are transformational agents and angels, I think we're getting an opportunity to see how do we amplify or clarify the language for these three very interesting tribal consciousness that I'm witnessing in this time in this country. Feels a little extra dark, Marianne, but I know that light is coming. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think, as I was saying before, the darkness is intensifying, and so is the light. But it's a race for time at this point. You know, we do not want to fall into let it get bad and then America will bottom out, because historically, that's not the way things go down. There were people on the left in Germany who knew how bad Hitler was and said, well, you know, it's okay. If he gets elected, then people will see how bad that is. That's not what happened, because when dark forces gain enough power, they can shut things down. They can shut, you know, we are so used to, in our generation, we are so used to certain right of freedom and expression that we take things for granted that no generation should take for granted. And so the fact that things could go dark in this election does not mean that we should take it for granted that then they will get light again right afterward. Will they get light ultimately? Yes, because God's will has never not been done. But it is completely up to us how long that takes. And I think that those of us who have a historical memory, if not in our own experience, but then in the experience of our people, of our tribe, this would apply to black people, it would apply to Jews, it would apply to women, to be very, very clear that how vigilant we must be. Because history does not go in a straight line forward unless people make it go that way. You know, history can take two steps forward and then one step back. So I think at this point, we must, in our collective experience as a nation, be extremely committed and extremely convicted around whatever we perceive as light in this election, and not be in any way lazy around this, because history shows that the darkness can rise, the darkness does rise, and intense amounts of human suffering can occur as a result.
Can I tell you how many of us wanted you so much to be in office when you were running for office? And it was like this beacon of light that had hit the planet, and we're like, oh yeah, finally, someone who really has the courage and the words that nobody can even try to compete with her. But, you know, like, we know that everything has a time, you know, like the seasons you mentioned earlier, there's a time to everything.
I just want to say thank you for what you just said. I remain eternally grateful to all the people like yourself who were so kind and so generous and so enthusiastic in their support of my congressional campaign. Quite simply, you know, I thought that it was legitimate for me to run for office because I felt I could hit the ground running as a congressperson. I felt that, and I still feel that. What I vastly underestimated was the significance of the fact that I had never run a political campaign. And I was very naive about what's involved. I had thought if we raised enough money, we could hire someone who could make it happen. And our community was extremely generous, but it's not as simple as just hiring someone. And that feeling at the end, you know, talking about my book and about the depression, a lot of the pain and the sorrow and the disappointment I felt was the feeling that I had let down a community. Not that anybody supported the campaign knowing I would win, because it doesn't, you know, nobody knows they're going to win a political campaign. But I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, I could have too. If
I really
know what I was
you
doing, I could have done much
but
better.
You know,
yeah.
What? You didn't have Olivia Pope from Scandal. I mean,
yes,
that's
exactly right. That's exactly right. Oh, that's hilarious. That's exactly right. Nor anyone remotely like her.
That's exactly funny. Who you needed, and you'd have been in. But you know what?
And
there's
you know what?
Hope.
I tried. I threw money at people trying to get Olivia Pope to show up in my life. I look back at that, and you know the irony is, if I had just run it like a book tour. You know,
got it. But tears of triumph, what are you looking for individuals to receive?
Comfort. You know what has happened in the last few decades? We have medicalized human despair. Everybody's on meds all of a sudden. And once again, I'm not talking about bipolar or schizophrenia or clinically diagnosed very serious mental disorders. My point is that a painful divorce is painful, but it's not a mental disorder. Loss of a loved one is painful, but it's not a mental disorder. Financial ruin or failure or disappointment is painful, but it's not a disorder. And what has happened is that a medical model has been placed on top of what is essentially a spiritual malaise. You know, once again, the dark night of the soul. And I'm not getting in somebody else's lane like, oh, you're not a doctor. Who are you to talk about a medical disease? Rather, I'm challenging the assertion that situational despair is a medical disease. And if it is a psychological, emotional, and spiritual issue, then those who do not even factor the spirit into their calculations should not be the ones prescribing the solution, the answer. Mm-hmm. And the FDA has said that for people 25 years and younger, antidepressants increase suicidal ideation, not decrease suicidal ideation. This is particularly concerning to me as a mother. You know, the 20s is hard. It's a hard decade. We were all there. I don't know anybody who flew happily through their 20s, but it's not a mental disorder. And also, given everything that you and I have talked about, the state of the world today, this is not the time to be numb. You know, a lot of times people will say, you know, or distracted. A lot of times people will say, oh, but, you know, depression is there's a mental change in brain chemistry. Well, first of all, I don't know anyone who's been diagnosed with antidepressants who first had their brain chemistry checked, number one. The diagnosis of depression is a questionnaire. It's not a blood test. And secondly, you of all people know, meditation changes brain chemistry, neurocircuitry, and neurotransmitters. So people like yourself and myself and all of us doing the spiritual work, this is our lane. It's not like we shouldn't get in their lane. They shouldn't get in our lane. Because when you talk about the power of meditation, the power of prayer, the power of serious spiritual practice, these are the answers. These are the repair work. These are the healing modalities for situational despair that so many people experience in our world today.
Love it, love it. I'm really going to be sharing a lot about this book because I went 3/4 way in and I just wanted to keep just sitting with it because there are just so many things that you've said that are so deep.
We ourselves are suffering at the mercy of spirit. spiritual ignorance,
slaves to our own egos, enduring physical disease or injury or any other deep trial. Spiritual light is the hand of God reaching down to lift us up. In everything you've always shared with us, you keep directing us. It's the light of God that's going to lift you up. Help us to connect to that light before we end the show. Give us one or two things that can have our listeners go, Marian, I got it.
Well, I think that would be a prayer. Would you like me to say a prayer?
Please.
Dear God, the God of our understanding, and God by whatever name we call to you, we close the outer eye in order to see your light within us. It is to this light that we turn to replace, to remove, to dispel all darkness in our hearts and in our minds. And as we become so filled with light, dear God, may we be conduits of your light within the world. We cast your light upon the earth and upon all living things within it. We ask for the blessing of your divine light on us, on those we love, and on those we do not even know. We place in your hands our burdens and the collective trials of our human race. Bless our planet. Bless our country. Bless each other. Bless us all. And so it is. We all say, amen.
Amen. Om Shanti. Ashe. Marian Williamson, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And you've got a home at the Meditation Museum for a book signing if you wish. Just constantly, you know, we've got some fans here on our side for you. So
well,
lots of good wishes.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to have been on your program, and I wish you all the very best with your wonderful ministry as well.
Thank you so much. Take care.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
So the richness of this conversation continues to lead us closer to the light. Marian Williamson's book, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment, which you can receive at www.marianne.com. So what did you take away from this conversation, which I can only assume is about to amplify your spiritual path? No matter how rough it gets, we might just be turning towards the light. We're being edged, nudged, gently coerced, turn to the light, or else it's gonna get a bumpy. Thank you so much for joining on the America Meditating Radio Show here live at the Peace Village Retreat Center in the Catskills. Remember, no one can take away happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. We also wish for each of our friends to join us on the Meditate the Vote campaign going on until November 8th. As Marian said, we need to bring the democratic process really back in check. We're asking you to engage in questions that we've designed.
Just go to Meditate the Vote, Facebook or Twitter.
Send us your videos, send us your thoughts, answer the questions. Are you powerful enough to affect change? Please let us know. Here's a little bit of a blurb on inviting you into Meditate the Vote, and we'll end today's conversation by Gary White, Dreamweaver. Take care, everyone.
Hello, everyone. This is Sister Jenna from the America Meditating Radio, and I'm excited to introduce to you Meditate the Vote. It's going to be a national campaign, and what we're asking for all of you to join us with is to raise the bar of conversation. Try to see in what way we can change our interpretation about who we are, what we are, and perhaps the direction in which we want this country to go in. Regardless of whoever becomes the next president in 2017, we are still responsible for the way that we want to move our lives. So could you join me and an alliance of friends around the country to meditate the vote? Go to americameditating.org, press on events, meditate the vote, and you'll be able to get a whole bunch of information. So join us, because I, Sister Jenna, meditate the vote.
Away my worries of today. There still may be some time.